Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Everybody, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are recording live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Tuesday, March 6th. And there's actually quite a bit of information to talk about today regarding the Miami Dolphins. Let's start off the show with another Jarvis Landry update, because that is the one story that will not die or go away. And I will say, the past 48 hours or so, this hasn't been good for Jarvis Landry and his agent, and it also has not been good for the Miami Dolphins. And here's why. Because today was the deadline in the NFL to place a franchise tag on a player. Of course, Miami already did on Landry, but there were two other wide receivers that were expected to possibly get the franchise tag, and they did not. That is the Rams with Sammy Watkins and in Jacksonville with Allen Robinson. So those two wide receivers are now on the open market, or they will be next week. They are free to sign with anybody next week when free agency begins. So how does that hurt Landry in Miami? Here's how. Now, you can make the case whichever one's the best free agent wide receiver on the market. You can put them in any order you want, because essentially Landry is on the market. It would just take a trade to make it happen. So if a team wants a wide receiver, let's say, and just for example, the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears can now go sign Sammy Watkins. They can go sign Allen Robinson and just pay him money and not have to part with anything like they would if they wanted Jarvis Landry. So from their side, it makes it easier. And it makes it harder for Landry and Miami. Because if you're a team like the Bears or Cleveland or San Francisco, any of these teams who have been linked to Landry in Miami, they can just sign someone now who, you know, is a very good wide receiver. And you can put Watkins, Landry, Robinson. To me, they might not be the same style of player, but they're all very good wide receivers, very similar in what you get out of them. You might like one more than the other, but overall, there's three very good wide receivers on the open market. So if you're a team, you're going to sign the one where you don't really have to part with anything either. So this hurts Landry. This hurts Landry, and it also hurts Miami. Because say those guys sign. Say one signs with Chicago and one signs with Cleveland. Just for example, making it up. Don't read nothing into it. So now Landry's on the market. Well, you can cross off Cleveland and Chicago from possibly signing Landry, because A, they already signed a big money wide receiver on the open market. So that reduces the number of possible trade partners Miami has. And how it also hurts Miami is that the trade partners that are left, they're going to be like, look, we know you don't want him back. He don't want to be there. And we know there's no, and we know that there's not many options of places where you can send him via trade. We're going to give you a 6th round pick or a 5th round pick, take it or leave it. And if you leave it, we'll wait till next year and just sign him when he's on the free agent market and he doesn't have a franchise tag on him. So, like I said, the past 48 hours has not worked out well for Jarvis Landry and his agent, nor the Miami Dolphins, because those two guys can be easily signed and no team will have to part anything to get them. The other news that came out is the salary cap was announced, as well as the franchise tag number. It was expected the franchise tag number for wide receiver would be, for 1 year, would be $16.2 million. Came in a little under that, not much, nobody's crying here. Came in at $15.92 million, which means more bad news for Landry, a little bit less, not much. So when he does sign his franchise tag, it won't be for $16 million, it will be for $15.92 million. So like I said, not a good 48 hours here for Landry, his agent, or the Miami Dolphins either. There still are the reports out there that Landry will sign his free agent his franchise tag this week. I would expect he should be running to do that any moment now with this news of the free agent wide receivers on the market, because the last thing Landry probably wants is to have the franchise tag removed right now. He wants to lock in himself at $15.92 million for this year. Worst case scenario. So we'll see how this plays out. Like I said, there hasn't been any more rumors since Saturday's rumor that one in Chicago that was shot down pretty quickly. And look, it only takes one team to really want him for a trade to happen. So there might be a lot of teams, because there's been a lot of reports in the past few days from New Orleans, Indianapolis, and God knows how many other places, saying they like Landry, but they're not going to trade for him. But it only takes one team. It only takes one general manager to make the move. So even with all those reports out there that, you know, a lot of places like him, but they don't want to part with anything for him, I think at the end of the day, a trade will happen here. Now, with this news that the franchise tag number was reduced a little bit here to 15.92, is that closer to what Miami offered him over a long-term annual salary? Again, we don't know the guaranteed money. We really don't. Is there a chance that the Miami Dolphins and Jarvis Landry could sort of kiss and make up and somehow come to terms on a long-term deal? And I know everywhere that it's been reported, it's probably not going to happen. It's the least likely scenario. The odds are really slim. But with the landscape changing in the past 48 hours, is it possible? And I will say this. Anything's possible. I know that's not groundbreaking groundbreaking insight there, but anything's possible. Is it more likely than it was yesterday? I'd say yes, but I think it's still very unlikely, just because there's so much bad blood right now between the Miami Dolphins side and the Jarvis Landry and his agent side. There's so much bad blood that I don't know if that can be repaired. But I would expect Landry to sign his franchise tag this week. All the reports are saying so. Nothing's really changed there. But we'll keep an eye on this. And this might go for a while. They might not find a trade partner for him until like the summer. So Landry might sign his franchise tag this week and then be unable to trade him, you know, in March or April or even May. And maybe it takes to June or July, or maybe it takes till a major injury in training camp that another team has, where they lose a wide receiver and they're like, hey, we want to replace him now. So this might go for a while. We'll see. Like I said, really not much news to talk about today. No other rumors out there of any possible trades. Just that when Watkins and Robinson were not tagged, that's not good for Landry or the Miami Dolphins. I kind of hope they were both tagged. So then when it comes to trade situations, everybody was sort of in the same boat. But that's not the case. So any team that wants a wide receiver can now just go ahead and sign a couple who are very good and not have to part with a pick or anything for that matter. The other big story of the day is Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross. And anytime the owner of the team speaks, you sort of got to listen. And Ross is making headlines, and not in a good way. It's not an awful way, but it's not in a good way. He spoke to the New York Daily News. And he had two comments that sort of made noise around the NFL. His first comment to the New York Daily News was that in 2018, he said all players on the Miami Dolphins will be standing for the national anthem. And then about a few hours later, maybe a day later, don't know the exact time frame, Ross walked that back as fast as you could and said, I have no intention of forcing our players to stand during the national anthem. So I think Ross said I think the first comment about how he wants everyone to stand for national anthem, that's probably what's in his heart. That's probably what's in his heart and probably what he wants. But then when he sort of probably got feedback from, you know, people in the front office, maybe not fans per se, I would say people in the front office, maybe some other people around the league, it's like, why are you dragging up this debate again in public? It was almost dead, sort of going away. You're making a big thing. So then he walked it back. He walked it back and said, I have no intention of forcing our players to stand. Look, all this happened last year during the season. I came on the show and I talked about it very little. I talked about it very little because people have strong feelings about this, whether you think they all should stand, every player should stand. Nothing I say will ever change your mind. And whether you think it's not a big deal, let them take a knee, whether it's all of them or some of them, nothing I say will change your mind on that. So it's like, why even talk? And plus, it's really not even football related. So I didn't talk about it a lot last year. I think it's the I think this debate that took place last year is so stupid and so silly. And I was shocked how many people got like worked up over it. And the fact we're talking about this again in March of 2018 still, I find it mind-blowing. I really do. It's a no-win issue for anybody. It's a no-win issue for the players. It's a no-win issue for the league. It's a no-win issue for an owner. Whatever you say and whatever side you fall on, you are going to, for lack of a better word, piss off half your fans, okay? Because it's split 50-50 on the fans with this issue. Now, some fans might be louder than others, but essentially it's a 50-50 split issue. Some fans feel very strongly about it. Every player should stand, and that's it. And you got the other side of the coin, like, I just want to watch a game. I could care less. So you're pissing off half. That's why my advice to Mr. Ross, who's a – look, I like Mr. Ross. I think he's a pretty good owner, if not a great owner. He keeps his hands out of the football operations. He hires the people. Now, you might not like the people he hires, but he hires the people, and he lets them do what they want. He's not in there making picks and signing guys. You know, he lets those people that he hired do their job, which, if you're a fan of a team, that's the type of owner you want, someone who stays out of the way. So he does that, and A, he does that, and B, he's not afraid to spend money, and lots of money. I mean, the man rebuilt Joe Robbie Stadium, Hard Rock Stadium, whatever you want to call it, with pretty much his own money. Not a lot of owners would have paid that much to do it. They would have fought it tooth and nail every step of the way to get public funding here, public funding there. He didn't do it. He fought a little bit. Then he said, you know what? The hell with it. I'm just going to pay for it myself, which he did. And when it comes to signing a big price player like a Sue or a Mike Wallace or whoever, he ain't afraid to spend the money there either. So I like Stephen Ross. With that said, if I had 10 seconds of his time to give him some advice, my advice would be, shut up. Shut up on this topic. You can't win. No matter what you say, you are going to upset people. And just don't even talk about it. Don't even mention it. You know what? I know he can't do this, and it's more of a league matter. Don't even play the national anthem in the damn stadium before a game. I don't get how somehow in professional sports we have to play a national anthem before a game. I don't understand it. Sports, any sport, whether it's football, hockey, basketball, baseball, it's entertainment at the end of the day. And there are many forms of entertainment. You can go to a movie, that's a form of entertainment. You can go to an opera, you can go to a play. When you go to a movie or an opera or a play, they don't play the national anthem before the actual show starts. So somehow, 100 years ago, how this happened in sports, where you play the national anthem before each game, which at the end of the day is entertainment, I don't get. And you can solve this problem in 10 seconds. Just don't play the damn national anthem no more, and the problem goes away, and there's nothing to talk about. I know that won't happen, but it should. But just for Mr. Ross, never talk about this issue. Last year on Miami, you only had three guys who took a knee. They were Julius Thomas, Michael Thomas, and Kenny Stills. Julius Thomas, he ain't going to be back. Michael Thomas is about 50-50 to return. Not a sure thing. And you have Kenny Stills, who will be back, clearly. If it's just one guy, you're like, you don't even have to talk about it. Just let him take his knee and just be done with it and move on. With that said, I want to say one more thing here. Now, the player's taking a knee. I've never had a big issue with it, but I'm not one to like yell and shout at people who do have an issue with it. If that's the way you believe, God bless you, believe it. I don't care. I will say this, though, about the players who have been taking a knee now for, what, a year and a half, maybe even 2 years. Because I remember this started really with Adam Gase's first game in Seattle, at least in Miami. I know it's happened a little bit longer in some other places. if I also had the ear of Kenny Stills for 10 seconds, my advice to him would be, you've taken a knee now for what, a year and a half to 2 years before every game. You made your point. The point's been made, and I don't think you need to take the knee at this point to continue to make that point. Kenny Stills, off the field, does amazing work. If you ever have, you know, a half hour time, just sit down in front of a laptop or any type of computer or on your smartphone and type in Kenny Stills community service work, Kenny Stills off the field endeavors, anything like that. Put it into your computer on your smartphone and Google, and you will see God knows how many stories of him doing great things in the community. Kenny Stills is one of the good guys in the NFL, okay? He does a lot of work off the field to try and improve matters for his community, for the underprivileged, for minorities, all that stuff. He does amazing work. I could talk about that work probably one day in a podcast for an hour, and I'd probably run over an hour because he does so much. So if I were to have 10 seconds of his time and he wanted to listen to my advice would be, you made your point, Kenny. I don't think you have to keep taking a knee in 2018 to further that message. I think you've gone above and beyond off the field, which I know you will continue to do. I don't think you need to take the knee for those 16 regular season games, 20 if you count the preseason. I don't think you have to continue to do that. I think the point's been made. It's got more than enough attention, and I think the conversation has been advanced, and the conversation you wanted to be advanced has been advanced. Now, look, I'm just talking about the players in Miami with Kenny Stills and Michael Thomas, should he return. Same for him. I think you've made your point. But, you know, it's more of a league issue because there's going to be guys on some teams who still want to take any in for them. Again, more power to him. It doesn't upset me. But in Miami, this is a Miami Dolphins podcast. I'm just talking about all the players in Miami. For Ross, shut up and don't talk about it. And for Stills, I don't think you have to keep taking the knee. If you want to, I know I won't be upset. Many will be upset, though. But we'll see how this plays out as we get closer in the summer to preseason games, regular season. Hopefully this story at some point just dies and goes away because fans just want to talk about football. I just want to talk about football. I want to talk about what's going on the field during the games and not before the games and stuff like that. So we'll see. The other comment Ross made, because he didn't stop there. When he put his foot in his mouth, he put the whole foot in. Not just a couple toes. He put the whole foot in. He said another comment that upset a lot of people in South Florida specifically. He said, they asked him about the Marlins and Jeter taking over the Marlins and all the challenges he has in front of him and blah, blah, blah. And Ross, he said a quote that's true, but he should have been smart enough not to say it and just kept his mouth shut. And that quote was, Miami is a great city. It's not a great sports town. Now, look, I love the Miami Dolphins. I love the Miami Dolphins. And that quote Ross said is 100% true. It's a great city, Miami. Love going there. Fun. Weather's great. Who doesn't love Miami? You got to be dead not to love Miami as a city. When it comes to a sports town, when you compare it to places like Pittsburgh, New York, Chicago, Boston, you know, sports towns, it doesn't come close to that level. Now, look, that's not a personal insult to the people who live in Miami, to the fans of Miami, of the Miami Dolphins. It's just when it comes to the passion level, when it comes to, you know, diehard fans and stuff like that, Miami's not in that upper echelon of quote-unquote sports towns, okay? It doesn't come close. Again, not a knock, because there's only about five places that you would call elite sports towns. I just listed them off, really. So, not a knock. And for Ross, who owns a professional team in Miami, a team that hasn't won a lot since he's taken over, and just in general hasn't won a lot in about 20 years, really. You just, even though it's a true statement, you just don't say it. You keep your mouth shut, and it didn't need to be said. It just didn't need to be said. There's really no walking that one back if Ross, if he tries. Hopefully, if he is asked about this again, he says something totally different or just sort of glosses over this answer. He said, because it's a bad answer and it just looks bad. It's just bad PR for the owner of the Miami Dolphins to say the city of Miami is not a great sports town. We know it's not a great sports town, okay? It's just not at the end of the day. The last home playoff game against the Ravens, I think, 2008? Miami didn't even sell out the game. I mean, it's an NFL playoff game. It didn't even sell out the game. You got the Marlins, who I know it's a whole different ball of wax there. Their fan, I mean, they don't draw flies there for the Marlins game. And I know everybody hated the owner and everybody to sort of to get back at the owner. A lot of the fans, like, I'm not going no matter what. I get it. I get it. And plus, they will bring in young talent and just blow it up every so many years. It started with Huizenga, and now it's taking place with the last group who owned it. I mean, I get it. A lot of fans hate, but still, that's a professional baseball team. They don't draw flies at the end of the day. And you want to be considered a great sports town, you know, you sort of got to go to the games, even if you hate the owner. There were years up in New York where the Yankees were not winning games, and the fans despised George Steinbrenner, but they went to the games. Okay, they still went to the games. They went to the games just to sort of flip him off and boom sometimes, but they went to the games. Okay, they went to the games. And you can't say that about the Marlins. And in Miami, when they're doing well, the fans show up. But and this last year, see, this is why Ross probably shouldn't have said this, because this last year for Miami Dolphins, I think they sold out every home game. I mean, officially sold out. Whether the people actually showed up and sat in the seats, who the hell knows? But I think they officially sold out every home game. I'd have to check that to confirm it, but I'm pretty sure they did. But once again, Ross, on two topics that were in the New York Daily News, you got to shut up. I mean, you're putting your foot in your mouth and you're not doing yourself any favors, to say the least. Last topic I want to talk about, then I'll wrap up today's show, was there's been a lot of talk, and I get a lot of emails and I get a lot of tweets and all that stuff about, should the Miami Dolphins really draft a quarterback in round one? Can't this wait a year? Why are we doing it now? Is it really needed? We got Ryan Tannehill back no matter what. Sounds like they're not going to move on from him. Why are we drafting a quarterback this year? And it's a fair question to ask. And I want to talk about why I think it would be smart if they did go quarterback in round one or two. If they did go quarterback in one of those spots, why I think it makes sense. So let me just rattle off a few reasons here, because I know a lot of you fans have been asking me this and have been just sort of talking about it in general. First reason why is right now the Miami Dolphins really only have one quarterback on the roster, which is Ryan Tannehill. Matt Moore ain't coming back. Jay Cutler ain't coming back. David Fells, I mean, he's a nice number three quarterback, I guess. But they only got one quote-unquote real quarterback on the roster. Could they sign a free agent type like, you know, Bridgewater, Josh McCown, or whoever? Yes, but that's going to eat up a lot of salary cap space, okay? Those guys are not going to come cheap. Quarterbacks in this league, even ones like that who would be coming in as a number two or a guy you're bringing in to sort of maybe fight for a number one spot if Tannehill's not 100% yet, those guys, they're going to cost you a lot of money on the salary cap. So, and plus, some of them are like a little bit older, or ones like Bridgewater. They're also coming off major injuries where you don't really know what they are because they haven't played much since they returned from the injuries. So the Miami Dolphins need a number two quarterback, especially when Tannehill is coming off the knee issues he has. Whether you want to call it one surgery or two, one injury or two, whatever. He blew out his knee bad, and it hasn't been right since December of 2016. And the next time he plays a real game will be September 2018. That's a long time. So the Miami Dolphins need some insurance at quarterback, and that is one of the positions they need this offseason. So that's number one reason why using a pick around one or round two on a quarterback is not a bad thing. The other reason, look around the league what quarterbacks these days are now getting paid. You had Alex Smith, who, you know, a middle-of-the-road quarterback, a nice quarterback. I'm not ripping him by any means. A nice player is getting paid big-time money. You have Kirk Cousins, who a week from now, possibly, in about a week from now, roughly, he could be the highest-paid player in NFL history. The guy's been to one playoff game in his life, and he played bad in it. Okay? Kirk Cousins is going to be that. You already have Aaron Rodgers out with the Packers saying he's not going to sign any extension until he sees what Kirk Cousins gets paid, because he knows he's going to top that deal, as he should, and become the highest paid player in NFL history. Quarterbacks that you have to sign or pay nowadays, even if you have one in the draft, when you have to pay one, it is big time money. It will blow up your salary cap like we've never seen before. So by drafting a quarterback in round one or two, you control the salary of that quarterback for 4 or 5 years. So for 4 or 5 years, the first 4 or 5 years of their career, you manage what they make. They're not going to blow up your salary cap. You get a few years there. You get a window where you can build up a team and not blow a huge part of your salary cap on the quarterback. So that's why when you see guys like Alex Smith, Kirk Cousins, sign these huge deals, it makes a lot of teams run to the draft to be like, let me find the guy in the draft. Even if he doesn't play year one, or if he's rocky and plays so-so in year one, years two, three, four, and possibly five, I control him, and I have a good young player at that spot who I'm not going to break the bank for. And it lets me spend money everywhere else on the roster. So controlling the money of the quarterback position has become a premium in this league because the money has gotten stupid for quarterbacks. I mean, stupid. Kirk Cousins, I'm sorry, nice player, is not that good, and he damn sure shouldn't be getting paid $30 million a year and have $90 to $100 million guaranteed. That is lunacy. That's lunacy that he's making that much money. So another reason why you want to draft a quarterback is you want to control the salary of that position. Of that position overall, you don't want to have to pay one of these guys that much money. Now, when you draft one, like say the Packers did with Rodgers, and he becomes a Hall of Famer, you don't mind paying him that because you got a Hall of Fame player on your hands, and he's won you a Super Bowl, and he's taken you far in the playoffs and all that stuff. But to have to go out, like these teams, like the Vikings, the Jets, you got the Broncos in the mix, to have to go out and pay someone like Kirk Cousins, $30 million a year, $90 million guaranteed. I mean, that's what you want to avoid. You don't want to be in that spot. You don't. Because at the end of the day, they can say everything they want about Kirk Cousins. He ain't an elite quarterback. He's not a future Hall of Famer. He's Alex Smith, Ryan Tannehill. He's in that grouping. And they can spin it any way they want, saying he's closer to Roethlisberger and Rodgers and Tom Brady. He ain't, okay? He's not in that conversation. But some team's going to pay him like he is, and that's going to be a mistake for that team. So, and the last reason is, well, there's two more reasons. Number one, one of them I talked about, really, Tannehill and his knee, the questions. You don't know if when he comes back he will still have the mobility he once had, if he's still able to move around and run around like he once did, and you don't know how strong the knee is and if it's the same type of player. The other one is look ahead and start to forecast at the 2019 draft. No, not this draft. The draft after this year's draft. 2019 draft, when you look at the guys now who project to be seniors and turn pro, you don't really know about the juniors who might have a good year then turn pro early. When you project, though, as of now, which all these teams have to do, it's like, okay, we need guys at positions A, B, and C. Next year's draft's really strong at position C, so we should take care of positions A and B right now. And we can't fill every need, so position C maybe can wait a year because that's a strong year. Okay, quarterback in 2019 is a weak draft. Very weak, as of now. Now, of course, it could change. But as of now today, and all you can base this off is the information you have today. As of today, the 2019 quarterback class is weak. So, and right now, you got at least four quarterbacks right now who go around the top 10. And you might have five or six that go in round one this year. And this is one of the stronger quarterback classes we've had in a while. So if you're the Miami Dolphins, if next year's class is weak, you want to grab one of them now, this year, out of a strong class where you have a better shot of getting a quarterback. So that's why, when a lot of you fans talk about, should the Miami Dolphins take a quarterback this year or wait? This is why the logic is there that they might take one in rounds one or two possibly. Because for those reasons I just mentioned. So that's all I got for today. Now let's do some housekeeping real quick. On this podcast, over the next 2 weeks or so, we're We're going to have a bunch of guests. I don't want to say who, because every time I say who, I somehow jinx it, and we have to reschedule a bunch of times with them. But we got a bunch of guests. The first one will be tomorrow. Someone we've had on the show before, who you all enjoy hearing from. And then I know for sure next week I got two big ones next week. And there might be one that's later this week or next week. So I got about four or five interviews lined up over the next 2 weeks from people you're going to want to hear from talking about the Miami Dolphins. People you all know, people you have all heard from. So be on the lookout for that. We'll do more shows this week, obviously. And as soon as news breaks, anything with Landry or if there's any more trades that come out of the blue, like with Robert Quinn, we will talk about that as well and have audio up as quickly as we can. So more shows this week, and we got a lot of guests we're going to have on the show over the next, I would say, week and a half or so. Guys, you've all heard of some national guys, some local guys, some former players, some... It's just a lot of people that you're going to enjoy hearing from. So be on the lookout for that. As always, follow the other websites who also re-air this podcast. FinFanatic.com, FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, the Facebook page Dolphinatics, and the Facebook page Fanatics. So that's all I have for today on this Tuesday, March 6th. Everyone have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.